I'm not good with technology. I guess so going to the country of the Netherlands, where it's a very much a first world country, they think they don't need God anymore. They have everything they need over there. But we know for a fact that everybody needs that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened with my wife Lisa over here. She's sitting in the second row over there. You can stand up and wave to everybody. I just do that because she gets so embarrassed. She does not like it when I do that. But if you just pray for us, we are going to the country of the Netherlands. I know as I mentioned that briefly in Sunday school. It's a country of about 17.2 million people. But over half of those folks are professed to be atheists. You know, that's the end of any socialist country. That's the end of any country that has turned their back on God. God gives them over their own lusts and their own desires. So that's and if you know anything about the city of Amsterdam, you don't have to look too far to see just how undone that city is. There are things that are illegal in that country, but when it comes to enforcing those laws, they pretty much just say, oh, it's making our country money, so we're not going to say anything bad about it. So the drugs are legal there, human trafficking, they don't frown on that as much, and they just need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they need. That's what we all need. If you're saved, you still need the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're lost, you really need the Lord Jesus Christ, because without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no hope. There's none. We saw a little people on our first survey trip. The first time we went to the Netherlands was in March of 2014, and we went to the city of Amsterdam, and we just went around walking around the city. We spent about two full days just walking around the city, and you look at those people, and they have a big fake smile on their face, but you look them in the eye, and there's nothing. They're just empty. But we know what can fill that up. He's known as the Holy Spirit of God. We know that if they would trust Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God would indwell them and lead them in the way of righteousness, is what the Bible says. It'll convict them of their sin, and they could live a life of joy. We know there's no joy outside of the Christian life without Jesus Christ. There's no joy. The Bible says that sin is pleasurable. See, I'm getting to preaching before I'm getting to preaching. I'm sorry about that, Pastor. I'm just excited about being saved. You know, we if you look at statistically, my wife and I shouldn't have got saved. We got saved in our 30s. You know, that statistically, that doesn't happen very often. But I thank the Lord that we walked an aisle August 20th, 2006 at a revival meeting. We trusted Jesus Christ. And if you would know our past, you would say, well, I can't believe God would save them. We lived in sin. That's why we're going to the Netherlands, because we know God can save people out of that situation because it was us. We were drunks. We were just what people would think were bad people. We rode motorcycles and people. No, we never got a gospel witness. You know that? You know why? Because people would see somebody like that and they say, well, there's no hope for them. People would cross the street and walk on the other side so they wouldn't have to walk by us and give us a gospel tract. That's the kind of folks that people look at and they say. That leads me into a little bit of a joke. You know the difference between a Harley Davidson motorcycle and a vacuum cleaner, right? On a motorcycle, the dirt bag's on the outside, right? That's what people say. Oh, come on. That was a little bit funny. Well, that was us. We were that dirt bag. But, you know, we got cleaned up by the Holy Spirit of God. We got cleaned up when the gospel was preached and the Holy Spirit came in. We changed. But you know why we changed? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We had new desires. We have new hope. We have new power. It's not an earthly power. It's a power from God to preach the word of God. And God gave me a verse. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and thou shalt speak my word unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. See, that's a verse that any Christian can use. I know he's talking to Ezekiel, going to the Judah and Israel because they had turned away from God, but that is a verse that each and every one of us can use. We have the word of God. We have it. It's in our hands, and we can use it wisely to bring life to death. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, you have to quicken who are dead in trespasses and sins. People can be made alive through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to the Netherlands to preach that same gospel, the same one that we heard, the same one that you heard, if you're born again. And they're going to get saved. Hopefully, they'll get saved. And we're going to train them up in an independent Baptist church. We're going to disciple them, and we're going to send them back to their hopefully, well, back up just a second. There's 176 nationalities of 195 in the world represented in Amsterdam of the Netherlands. We want to win some of those folks from those countries, send them back to the countries they came from after they've been trained. We believe with the Holy Spirit of God empowering this thing that we can reach the world through the Netherlands. I believe that. And we're sold out to that thought that God is going to use a couple of sinners saved by the grace of God, trained up in the Word of God, to reach some people. And I hope that I can help you a little bit today with this message that I'm going to preach. I hope that I can be a blessing to you and that God will use it to encourage you that you can reach somebody for Christ. That's what he's leaving us here for. For his honor and for his glory. I know there's some verses that I'm going to read this morning that it might be a little unpopular. It might not be something that you really want to hear this morning. I know it's Christmas season, but we're going to be meeting a lot of people. Family, new family that's coming in. You may not have met them before, but God wants us to be an ambassador for him during this season. So if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to read about, well, I'm going to just kind of walk through verses 14 to verse 20 with you this morning. And now, like Pastor said, if I get distracted, I'm going to have to start over. And that could be a rabbit trail that leads down about 10 miles down the road, and we may not get back until about noon to get back to my second point. So, and I've only got 10. I'm just kidding. I do have 10 points, but that's another message. They told me one time in Texas, as long as people are in Asperger, Texas, I can't believe they actually supported us after I did this, but they said, Pastor told me, he said, as long as people are listening, you just keep on preaching, brother. And I went for an hour and a half. I didn't think I could do that, but I did. But you guys are looking at me like, you go an hour and a half, you're getting shot. We're putting you down. But that verse that I use, that I was just telling you about, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that's one that we all know and we love and we use it all the time. And I use it all the time because, like I said, that's our life. We're new. We're not, you know, when somebody brings up a past that you did something before you got saved, you know, family is going to love to do that this time of the year when they get together. If you know, we weren't always saved. Now, if somebody went here said, I was always saved, you're probably not saved, so you might want to listen to some of this. At the end of this thing, we're going to give you a gospel presentation, and you can trust Christ and be born again. And you can be that new creature we're talking about. But see, my family, when we get together, I told you where I came from, and they'll always bring up, do you remember this time that you did this at this family get-together? And I use this verse. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I am in Christ. I am not what I used to be, and I'm not going back to those things that I used to do. And it's not because in the Sunday school lesson that really convicted me. Sometimes I would think that is not going to happen to me. I know that it could happen to me, but as long as I stick in this book and I'm washed by the regeneration of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit cleansing me of those things, that if I keep that in mind, we can live a Christian life. We can do that if we have the Holy Spirit. But that goes another thing. You must be born again. Jesus Christ said that. And that's the only way that we can live that life. The only way that we can be that new creature in Christ. So that, I'll read that verse again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We'll pray, and then I'll walk through this in under an hour. Look, you still look at me like, I know it's Christmas season. I'm going to give you a present. I'll be short. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Father, I would just ask that you would just bless this message this morning. I would ask, Father, that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, Holy Spirit of God, that you would speak through me today to the hearts of your people. They want something from you this morning, or I hope they do. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to help them to be a witness this season that we're in. Lord, that you'll use them to reach their family with the gospel. Lord, that is the important thing. That is what this season is about. That you came to live a life that we can't live. You died a death that we can't die, but you did it for us. Lord, I pray that you help us now. We ask it in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says there, this is the reason that we witness. This is the reason that we should be wanting to reach our lost family members, our lost neighbors, our lost people all around us. Why? Well, you say, why is that? Because the Bible says right there, for the love of Christ constraineth us. And I want to ask you a couple questions this morning. I said, what has a hold of you this time of year? Is it the love of Christ? You can tell by how you're going to live and how you're going to be a witness for Christ this time of year. Because if it is the love of Christ that constrains you, you will be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not going to be the one that goes around saying happy holidays. You're going to be the one that says Merry Christmas. Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's about Jesus Christ this whole time of year. You know, whether you believe he was born this time of year, you don't believe, this is when the world celebrates the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is an opportunity for us to tell them about what he really did for you and me. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 that it says that ye shall be witnesses, but it says before that, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he says, ye shall be witnesses. When the Holy Ghost, when you get born again, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And the very first thing it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is that it gives you the power to be a witness. And that's what the apostles did when the Holy Ghost came upon them. You read in Acts chapter 4, it said that with great power they preached the gospel. With great power they preached about Jesus Christ. You said, well, I'm not called to be a preacher. Every Christian is called to be a witness. You know the word. A preacher is to proclaim the word of God. What an opportunity we have. This world right now is looking for answers to the problems that are going on. You know the answer to the problem of a lost person is Jesus Christ. You know the world is running around trying to figure everything out. We have a Bible that tells us why things are the way they are and how things are going to turn out. If we could take this to them, boy, they could have the hope that we have. And why do we want to do that? Because the love of Christ constrains us. It has a hold on us. But this, the other part of this time of year is it's more like marketing has a hold on us. Marketing constrains us. Money constrains us. Getting the best gift, buying the best gift for the family constrains us. But really, it's the love of Christ that should be constraining us. And down in Alabama, we're just down in Alabama. You know what constrains them right now? This election coming up next week. That constrains them. That is all they want to talk about. You know what they need to talk about? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You say, well, we can't always talk about Jesus Christ. Well, we can always turn those conversations to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. Let's do something about that. Why? Because the love of Christ constrains us. And then it goes on, Paul goes on to write, because we thus judge that if one died for, what's that word right there? Oh, yeah, he died for all, didn't he? Well, see, there's some people out there that say he just died for some. Just a select few, just the elect, which they don't even understand what that term means when they use it. He died for all. He died for everybody. Even that drunken uncle that nobody wants to talk about, he still died for them. I know that term, but I can use that term because that was me. That was who I was. But he still died for me at that point. And he still died for them. We was down south. We spent a lot of time down south because we live in a travel trailer and we like to stay where it's warm in the wintertime. But you would see people laying all over. We were in New Orleans. We saw a drunk laying on a bench, just out of his mind, and in just in a bad way. So you know what I like to think about? Christ died for all. He died for all. There's nobody too bad. When I was in the motorcycle ministry, I got saved. We got into motorcycle ministry. Why did we get into motorcycle ministry? Because I know that God saves people on motorcycles. So we could go and talk to people about Jesus Christ that rode motorcycles. I don't do that no more because the Lord left me in a different direction. I wouldn't recommend that either, by the way. But it happened because Christ died for all. But here's the thing that we don't like. The next part of that verse, then we're all dead. People have to see that they're sinners. People have to see that they're dead in trespasses and sins. Try telling an American that. Try telling a European that they're sinners, that they're undone, that they're ungodly. They don't like that much. But somehow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, people have to realize, and that's who does the work, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that we're all dead. That's why he says you have to be quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And see, the world today, they try to make a mockery of this. I don't know who watches what on whatever TV, movies, that kind of thing, but there's all kinds of crazy zombie shows and that kind of thing. That's not a new thing. That's lost people. They're walking around dead. No hope. But we have what can bring them to life. The Word of God. The Bible says, turn to Romans chapter 10, just briefly. I'm not going to make you turn around a whole lot. I had something else written down that I was thinking about preaching this morning, but you'd be turning about 400 different Bible verses, and you really would have been here till about 2 o'clock if I'd have went that way. So we're not going to do that. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You know the verse, but I want you to see it. So then faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. See, faith is what can bring somebody alive when they put their faith in the right thing. If we put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, that's what he came for. That's what he was born to do. He was born to live that life that we couldn't live. He was born to serve a service that we could not serve, a total obedience. He came to die a death that we couldn't die, a sinless death for us. He lived a life. Hebrews talks about we have not a high priest that is not touched with our infirmities. He knows. He was tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin. That's what he came for, to live that life. When John the Baptist saw him coming across, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was that Lamb, that spotless Lamb without spot or blemish that is going to take our place and shed his blood. If that doesn't get a hold of you to want to witness to somebody, maybe you're still dead. Maybe you are. I don't know. I'm not saying that you are, but if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. You're born again. That's a fact, if you've done that. But I don't know who has. See, that's kind of an advantage, kind of a disadvantage. I preach to everybody like they're lost because I don't know who's saved. You know, I know one person that's saved for sure, and that's me. I don't know about anybody else. I preach the same thing. I want you to be born again. That's why we even bother to go around this world, around this country, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the love of Christ constrains us. Because he died for all, and that all were dead. And that he died for all. Man, that's the next verse. I have that highlighted. I have it underlined. I have it circled. All. That he died for all. He died. He shed his blood for all mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a current possession through the shed blood, through that perfect gift, the Lamb of God that came and lived a life that we couldn't live. He doesn't ask much from us. He really doesn't. I think sometimes maybe he should, but then I wouldn't even fulfill what he would want. But he just says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Verse 15, 2 Corinthians 5:15. They died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at that real quick. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to make a turn to a couple verses. We're still in church, right? You can still turn to a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 8. Well, I lost one of my outlines. See, that's what sometimes you put a whole bunch of outlines in your Bible, and you put them on sheets of paper. That's where an outline started this morning. It's on a little sheet of paper. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go to verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. How do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it doesn't stop there. See, remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says that we're not unto ourselves. It's not about us anymore. It says, for we are his workmanship. Whose workmanship? God's. We're God's workmanship. We're created by him now. We're that new creature in Christ Jesus we're going to get to in a minute. Created in Christ Jesus what? Unto. Because you're born again, you were created unto good works. What's a good work? Being a witness. That's the best work. That is the work. That is what we are to do to be a witness this time of year. And so you're just saying that because you're a missionary. That's what God's called you to do. He's called each and every one of us to do that. Each and every one. If you're born again, you're to be a witness. You say, well, this isn't one of those nice, soft messages. I'm sorry, I don't know how to preach those, to be honest with you. I just want to preach the word of God. Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What? Those good works. After the model of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you remember some of the people that Lord Jesus Christ dealt with when he was walking the earth? Remember the maniac of Gadara? Remember him? Jesus Christ crossed a stormy sea just to get to him. Remember the woman at the well? He went through a country that the Jews were just not to go to. You know what he did? He went to that well to talk to that one woman that everybody else had condemned. That's my Jesus. That's the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And he wants us to walk in that model. He wants us to walk around this time, this place that we're in. We're in a wicked time. There are maniac and Gadaras all around us. Jesus wasn't afraid to go. Why are we? Verse 16, wherefore henceforth now we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, now henceforth know him no more. What's he saying right there? Jesus Christ is not here right now. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where he is. He's coming back. He's coming back. We're going to get called out. Then he's going to come back. He's going to come about halfway down. He's going to call us out if you're born again. And then later on, about 7 years later, he's coming back to rule and to reign. That's what's going to happen. But he's coming back for us. Could be this afternoon. It could be the next time the hand moves on your watch. It could happen. We don't know. But I want to know if you're ready. Are you ready? Because we are here in Christ's stead. He talks about that a little bit in verse 20. He said, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're here in Christ's stead. Jesus Christ is not here in the flesh. But we are. We are. And we're going to come in contact with lost people. See, I'm going to say this over and over and over again. See, repetition is how you learn, right? It's because we're going to be around a lot of lost people this holiday season. Some of them are going to be in stores. Some of them are going to be trying to push you out of the way to get to that one. Well, that was Black Friday, right? None of you went Black Friday shopping, did you? Everybody's pushing everybody out of the way just to get to that one thing. But we are still to be an ambassador for Christ. Verse 7, well, I'm going to back up. We'll go to verse 17. We're here in Christ's stead. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, see, therefore, that was because of the first verses before that. Therefore, because of the love of Christ. Therefore, because he did live, die, and let's not forget, he rose again for us. Because of that, therefore, because of that, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. I thank the Lord for that. I can't tell you how much I love the Lord for what he did for us. There's no way we'd still be married if we wouldn't have got saved. And he can put the Lord Jesus Christ right in the middle of that thing, and the Lord would bring it. You know why we have problems? Because we don't have Christ in front of us. See, the closer you get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the closer we get to each other. You know why there's problems in churches in America today? We're not close to Jesus Christ. You know why there's problems in families? Because we're not close to Jesus Christ. If we could just get back there. How can we get there? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it's in Christ. In Christ. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. It doesn't say it might be. It says are passed away. You say, well, I'm still living in that same old sinful body that I had before. You're right. You're right. But inside, the Spirit of God can lead us in the directions that we should go. We're in Christ. We are a new creature. We are not the same old creature that we were before. The Bible says right there. We believe the Bible, right? Amen. Okay, good. We're on the same page there. We believe it. And let's keep going. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you still desire the same things that you used to desire. See, I used to love dirt tracking. I raced dirt track for 5 years, 6 years, maybe more. I love dirt track racing. But I don't want to go back and do it anymore. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just don't want to do it anymore. I used to ride my Harley. I love my Harley. It was great. It was a wonderful idol that I had in my life. You know what I don't want anymore? I don't want a Harley anymore. Why? Because I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I wouldn't do it faithfully on my Harley. Now, if you can, praise the Lord. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying a boat's bad. I was talking to a pastor a while back. He said he had a boat, and he said, what do you call it? And he said, visitation. He said, when somebody calls me, they say, what are you doing? I'm out on visitation. You know, you made that tonight. That was a joke. You can, okay, all right. He didn't really say that. That was. But is it an idol? Is something causing you to stray away from the work that God wants you to do? He wants you to do something. He wants you to be involved somewhere. I heard a lady singing. That was a blessing. That's doing something for God. That's a new creature. You don't do. That's not natural. That's something the Holy Spirit's done. What has the Holy Spirit done? There's another one of those questions that the preacher meddling with. What has the Lord put on your heart in your life as a new creature that you're not doing? See, that always gets quiet when I ask that question. You know what it is. And the Lord's just calling out to you this morning to just take that step. Just take that step. Just trust him. Verse 18, I'll move past that real quick here. I'll get away from it as quick as I can. And all things are of God. That conviction that you feel about that, that's of God. All things are of God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and have given to us. See, that's what he's given to us. A ministry. He's given all a ministry. If you're born again, we have the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? We have two parties that are enemies, hate each other. That would be lost and God. Lost people hate God. They don't want nothing to do with God. and God has condemnation on them. The wrath of God abideth upon them. It says in John chapter 3, verse 36, right? The wrath of God's abided upon them. But he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. What's that mean? That we can put those two parties back together again. How do we do that? With the word of God. The gospel. Do you know enough Bible? I was watching a video last night on YouTube about discipleship. Do you know enough of the word of God that you can lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the gospel yourself? If you're saved, you know the gospel. See, that was kind of a trick question, because if you're born again, you know what the gospel is, and you have the ability to share that gospel with somebody else. If you have a testimony of salvation, you can share that with somebody, can't you? Amen. You can. I know you can. He's given that to you so you can have a ministry of reconciliation. There's so many people at odds with God right now. I heard a statistic on a Christian radio the other day as we were driving to listen to radio. 23% of people in America are born again. That was a statistic that SRN, that's a Christian radio station, they say 23%. How many say that they're Christians, but yet they're not born again? See, we need to be able to take them through the scriptures and show them whether they are born again or not. And it's not just the missionary's job. It's not just pastor's job. It's not the school teacher's job. It's all our jobs. It's a parent's jobs. It's what we're to do, especially this time of year. Maybe that's why we celebrate Christmas as Christians, to put the focus back on the mission of the church, of why Christ came. To do that, he's given us a ministry. To wit, verse 19, to know that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. There's the solution. It's Jesus Christ. Not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto who?
Us.
The word. I love that. I've underlined that about four times. The word of reconciliation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at this, the word of reconciliation. This is it right here. We use the book of Romans to do it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. See, I like that. All us. The Lord's very descriptive when he inspired the scriptures. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. See, that's where we got to get people, that they're dead and trespassing sins. They're lost, they're undone. In this world, no hope without Christ. But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's what we got to bring him to. The wage of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that's a blessing. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. How? I underline that because that's only in your King James Bible. You get anything outside of a King James Bible, that word is not in there, the how of the gospel. I preached a whole message on that, but not this morning. I'm not even going to get sidetracked on that one. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ died for your sins. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. And he doesn't ask us for much. He just wants us to witness just a little bit. We don't have to witness to stay saved. We don't have to witness to be saved. We witness. We be obedient to the word of God just to show people that we are saved. The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I don't have to work out your salvation for you. I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I'm trying to work it. I'm working out my own life. I want people to know that I'm born again. I want people to know that I've trusted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that's what he wants us to do, each and every one of us. Work out your own salvation. You have the Holy Spirit in you? Let somebody know about it. Let somebody see a changed life. That's what the maniac of Gadara did. Next time anybody saw him, he was sitting by the fire clothed, wanting to go with Jesus. Jesus said, go back to your own. You're not coming with me. Go back and show what great things that I have done. Christ died. How that Christ died for our sins. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Christ died for our sins. Shed his blood on Calvary. Verse number 20. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. I'm almost done. Almost. Unless somebody... Okay, you want me to be done. That's why you're not moving around. Well, it says, verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What's an ambassador? The United States has ambassadors all over the world to be a beacon of the United States, to show the United States to countries all over the world. Christ's not here. We're here in Christ's stead. We need to be an ambassador for Christ where we are. We need people to know that we're Christians. Not just saved. Christians, little Christ, disciples, that we're followers of Christ. People need to know that. Why? Because we're a new creature. Because he loves us. Because we need to follow his example. I did write this down. This was going to be another message, but I want you to turn to Philippians with me and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see if I can give you a page number. I used to do that. I used to joke about that all the time. I used to preach at the rescue mission. We all had the same Bible. So instead of references, I said, just turn to page 1258. That's Philippians chapter 2. This is about that new creature. This is about Jesus Christ, being an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's showing that Jesus Christ is God, but made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself the way he did. He made himself of no reputation. We're nothing. We're just sinners saved by grace, if you're saved. Where there's nothing spectacular about us. We're not better than anybody else. See, that's what Christ is telling us. What the Apostle Paul, when he wrote this, is saying. He said, we're nothing. Because Jesus Christ, he thought he was nothing, but he was God and took upon himself the form of a servant. We're to be servants and was in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, death on the cross. That's what Jesus Christ did. And we'll look at one more verse and I'll be almost done. Like I said, I'll be almost done. And this is how he wants us to live. The Apostle Paul says this, that I may know him in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him in the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He wants us to live in the power of the resurrection. But see, to be in the power of the resurrection came something. It's called suffering. So we don't really have to suffer in America for the cause of Christ, but he could put it on us. There's some people who suffer with health illnesses, and there's people that suffer with just adversities in life. And Paul says the more that happens, the closer you're going to get to God, the more that you're going to live in the power of the resurrection. But he wants us, especially this time that we're in now, to live in the power of the resurrection, to show a resurrected life, that we're not what we used to be. We are a new creature in Christ. That's what he's crawling out for us. But the first thing that's got to happen is, like Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. He says in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Have you trusted Jesus Christ this morning? Have you ever come to the place where you knew that you were lost? There's a lot of people that say they're good people and they're I'm not as bad as somebody else. But have you ever come to the end of yourself and said, I am undone? I just know that I've been playing church for these last how many years and I know that I'm lost. But I'm just afraid. I'm afraid of what somebody's going to think. I'm afraid of what somebody's going to say. Don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Just trust Christ. He died for your sins. That's the kind of love that you should have got a hold of this morning. The love of Christ constrains everyone in here that if you would walk an aisle this morning and trust Jesus Christ, they're going to love on you like you've never been loved on before. The Holy Spirit of God is going to pour out to you, on you, and you're just going to know what love really is. But you have to know that you're undone, you're lost, that you've never trusted Christ. You know. I don't know, but you do. Would you trust Christ this morning? He died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scripture. He doesn't ask you to live that sinless life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You don't have to live a sinless life. Just trust the one that did. You don't have to die the sinner's death. You don't have to shed your blood. Jesus Christ already did. How that Christ died for our sins. He went to the cross and poured out all his blood for you. You don't have to shed your blood. Jesus Christ did on the cross. Will you trust that this morning? Christ died for your sins. How that Christ died for your sins according to Scripture. He was buried. And he rose again. How do you know that he rose again? The Bible said so. And you could see a changed life. And anybody in this room, if you knew him before and you saw that they're born again, you know that they're born again. That's the power of the resurrection. Changed life. New creature in Christ Jesus. Would you think on that this morning? Would you trust Christ? And if you have trusted Christ this morning, would you tell somebody about it? He says in Acts chapter 1, last verse, I promise you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Just turn to it, and I'm just going to read it. I'm not, well, maybe I'll expound on it just a little bit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. See, He's left us here as his ambassador. He's left you in Oak Harbor, Ohio. That's your Jerusalem. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Great Commission, he says, be witness unto me both in Jerusalem. If you're born again, be a witness in your Jerusalem this week. Every day. Be that witness. In Judea, I know where some of us are traveling around for holidays. Be a witness in your Judea. In Samaria, I think Samaria is those people that nobody wants to witness to. Nobody wants to even care about. Be a witness to them this time of year, this week, and going on into next year. In the uttermost parts of the world, that's our part. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the other parts of the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're ambassador for Christ. You want to play your part this week, this month, the rest of this year into next year? That's what God is calling each and every one of us to do. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to preach your word this morning, Lord. I pray that I was a help, Lord, a challenging message this morning on being the new creature that you've asked us to be. You've done the work, Lord. I pray that you just help us. I pray for the lost soul in the room this morning, Lord. I know there's probably somebody here that they would trust you this morning, and that your saints would just be challenged to try to lead somebody to you this time of year. Lord, help us now, please. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.